Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT. We've got some Lakers chat for you on this episode as we discuss with Luke Walton as the right to be in the hot seat in LA and whether Tyson Chandler will solve all of their problems. And Houston, we have a problem. We'll be discussing whether the Rockets are in more trouble than the Washington Wizards. We'll be discussing the dynamic duo there in Golden State, Kyrie's new do, and the parenting and grandparenting woes of Doc Rivers. And we'll be discussing who's had the biggest impact on their team, LeBron or Coach Bud. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, as always, sitting next to me is the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate? I didn't screw up the intro that time. I'm on a roll.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, maybe it's the weather. Normally you're quite befuddled, and like, you know, the pollen's been around
for you, mate. I think it's springtime's killing me with the hay fever. I've been blocked, and just...
You're a mess of a man.
I'm... Speaking of a mess of a man...
Yes.
My name is Nick Busink, and that is your mess of a man. it sums up, I did the most Nick Busing thing. For those of you who want an insight of who is the real Nick Busing.
This encompasses him entirely.
What I did today, a couple of days ago, is just perfect me. I was set to play basketball with good Jack over here.
Yeah, mate.
Set at 3:45, whatever. Lunchtime rolled around. I'm like, I'm a bit peckish. As you do.
What do you make?
So I go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
As you do.
Of course. There's food
I get myself some bread. I'm ready to make myself a sandwich.
White bread? Brown bread?
Brown bread.
Brown bread.
It's got to be brown bread.
Okay, nice fiber.
I go to the pantry. I think I was having, like, it was a basic sandwich. I was just having peanut butter.
Yeah.
So I got the bread, brought it back to the bench.
Yes.
I went to get the peanut butter.
Okay.
Silly me, did two trips.
Wow.
Rolled my ankle.
You rolled your ankle getting peanut butter in the kitchen.
I rolled my ankle making myself a sandwich.
I feel like that if you're getting that like an injury report, that's one of the weirdest injuries I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know, J.R. Smith throwing soup at someone, it was pretty...
He didn't get injured.
I guess no one...
If he hurt his wrist doing that, that might have been strange.
Didn't someone... Oh, there's a soccer player, Andy Carroll. He twisted his ankle putting on his shoe.
But Andy Carroll's known for getting injured all the time, isn't he?
I mean, well, that's what I mean. Like, it is so me to hurt myself whilst preparing myself food.
You played a couple of days later.
It was a bad roll. I couldn't play that day.
You killed some 16-year-olds. I beat you the day before, but you weren't feeling it. The pollen was getting to you. But we shall not speak about our basketball exploits because we're trash.
They are not very good.
No, they're not. Nick's J's nice. I've started to hit the rim a little bit better. But what do we do first on this thing? Or what is it called?
I think it's called the Busing Manuel Scale.
Busing Manuel.
Busing Manuel Scale.
That's one.
It's where me and Jack... sum up things, how
Jack
lucky
and die.
They are. Jack and I, sorry. Mr. English teacher man. I mean, you teach 12-year-olds, if that.
At the peak of my teaching career.
The peak of the 12-year-old, anyway. for those of you who are new, this is a scale where we sum up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We put it on a scale of alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and straight
so
up
so you back. Messed up, didn't mess up the intro, you mess up the thing that is written down right in front of you as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but I wasn't reading it.
Alright. God.
I'm an off-script sort of man.
Of course you are. And that's what makes our podcast so...
unique.
Yeah, we'll go with unique.
That's a word for it. Alright. We'll start off here with some LA news, as every podcast in existence does.
Yes.
We all sort of gravitate towards LeBron James. Luke Walton has no right... to be on the hot seat in LA. I mean, we saw Ty Lue get fired.
Bang.
A few other coaches are on the hot seat, being my...
Wiz Nation.
Yes, Wiz Nation. Luke Walton obviously not having a flash start that everyone had hoped for. He's got a few comments here, so we'll
send it over to good old Lukey, and we'll have a listen.
Management is going to give you the latitude to be patient.
I feel like I have a great relationship with management, yes.
Do you feel like you have job security?
I feel like I'm coming down here to do my job and coach, and I don't feel like I'm going anywhere, no.
So obviously that reporter there has brought up, do you think you have job security? Does Luke Walton deserve to be on the hot seat right now?
I mean, if we're going to use Wally.
I think they're 3-4 now.
Yeah, they won today.
They won today, but 2-4 at the time.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the games that they've lost have been against good teams as mm-hmm. well. Like, they lost to the Rockets, they lost to the Spurs twice.
I mean, are the Rockets good?
Well, yeah, they beat us, Nicholas, so give me
they
something.
They must be amazing. Yeah.
I mean, the Rockets, yeah, I mean, you can argue what you want, but a lot of the comments coming out were the fact that Magic Johnson wasn't necessarily unhappy with the record, it was more the way the offense was flowing. And to me, it wasn't necessarily from just an outside perspective. I know you, Nick, will probably watch a couple of Lakers games as well. It's not the offense that's any problem. It's the defense. It's like JaVale McGee. LeBron James has become an absolute sieve on the defensive end in the regular season. And to me, that's where it starts. You know, you got to have your leader engaged on both ends of the floor. And that's, for me, where it really is. And I mean, obviously, Luke Walton and Magic Johnson had their clash. It was reported by literally everyone. And we're talking about it now. So it's obviously going to be some major news. But I certainly don't think so. I'm going to go, he doesn't deserve to be. No right to be, yes. I'm going to go straight up fact for this one.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. It's a work in progress. I feel like, despite how dominant LeBron James has been, it's a different domination compared to Cleveland. I feel like he was more involved in Cleveland's play. Like, if the Cavs were struggling, it would be LeBron James that would take over. I feel like he's deferring a lot more in the Lakers, in an offensive setting. He's still getting his 25 points a game. However much he's averaging.
He's still like top five in scoring as well.
But you see him, I don't know. You see him, you see him directing a lot more and taking, I mean, people might see it as taking possessions off. I see it as coaching.
Yeah, I think we've heard LeBron say before that, like, when it comes to the playoffs, he has sort of like game ones to sort of feel out what the series is going to be. That's how it seems like what he's doing with the Lakers right now, feeling things out. It's a completely new team. The chemistry isn't there yet. The chemistry isn't there yet for many of the teams in the NBA that are rebuilding a roster. A lot of the best teams in the NBA right now are the ones that have had consistency with their roster and have had maybe one piece. Look at Toronto. Look at Boston. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee have had some changes, but I think that's probably been for the better. So I don't understand why he's on the hot seat. I don't think he is. I think that the perceived pressure. Jeannie Buss is one of the ones that hired him. She did hire in Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka after Luke Walton was still instilled as coach. So I think that there's obviously going to be some friction there, similar to what Ty Lue, obviously he was hired by, or he was not necessarily hired by, but he was instilled after David Blatt by David Griffin. So there's obviously going to be, you can construe that however way you will. But there's other Laker news, Nicholas. What are you putting this on the scale first? Because
I'm
facts
completely skis? Yeah, facts skis.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he's not he has no right to be on that hot seat.
No, not at all.
When you compare other coaches, you know, he, 3-4, especially now after that win, is not a bad place to be.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a nice win, quite a nice win against Portland after, you know, they lost to them earlier in the season.
Found
as well.
That three ball. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that they're going to grow. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces with the Los Angeles Lakers, as there will be, and obviously we'll be covering them plenty. But staying on the Lakers, the signing of Tyson Chandler will help solve some of their problems. I didn't put all Nicholas. It might help something.
It will help something. They need it. I mean, the center problem has always been a massive thing for the Lakers. Going forward.
Zubac, you're not a Zubac fan?
I mean,
Jonathan Williams, baby.
But the depth was always, when Zubac is your second, they're playing Kuzma at the five.
Yeah.
LeBron obviously isn't a fan of playing at the five, but he, you know, he's played there as well. And the likes of JaVale McGee is your starter, which I'm fine with.
He's playing.
I mean, I love me some JaVale. I think he's averaging 18 points a game.
Yeah, he's averaging, you know, near career numbers. And I put out a piece on the signing on OGGBasketball.com. He's averaging the most minutes, 27.1, since he was in Washington 7 years ago. You know, when he was in Golden State, he was a makeshift starter, played 15, 20 minutes here and there. And, you know, LeBron thinks he's the defensive player of the year right now. You know, he's leading the league in blocks. He's having an awesome season, but he is still, and I hate to say this, he is still JaVale McGee. He's not going to be the solution to all your center woes. You know, you can't have him playing 27 minutes a night for 82 games in the season because he's aging. He's like, obviously, he's not going to put this up this production for the next 70 games or so. And that's not to say that the addition of Tyson Chandler might not help. And that's what I said in my piece. Give Tyson Chandler 10, 12, maybe 15 minutes a night. Let him get some boards. He's sort of similar to JaVale McGee in the sense that he's an elite I think Tyson has proven he's a more elite rebounder, but he has lost a step defensively, and obviously due to age and stuff. But I think he plugs in, he does sort of give them something in terms of depth, like you mentioned, Nicholas.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't solve their three ball problem. He may plug a little bit more of defense when JaVale's off.
I don't think he's that great,
but they've got another big body.
Yeah, it helps. It just helps to have another center out there.
Exactly.
Because I think, like you were saying about Kyle Kuzma playing at the five, I don't think that that's worked tremendously well defensively. And that's where, like I mentioned earlier, that I think they've struggled the most. And I think you need to have generally a top 10 offense or defense, one of them. I remember doing a piece for, I can't remember, it was probably OTG Basketball. To be a playoff contender, you need to be either top 10 in offense or top 10 in defense. Mm. Right now, it looks like the Lakers might be top 10 in offense.
Well, they're 7th at the moment in offensive rating, which is quite impressive.
But the reason why the Houston Rockets took their massive leap last season was because they were top 10 in defense as well. So if you'll have both of them, you're generally a playoff championship contender. But I don't think the Lakers are that. But
that's what I mean. Like the growing pains of this young Lakers team, they're already a top 10 offense in these early parts of the season. Defense is such an art to defense that it takes time.
Yeah.
It might not even click next season.
Yeah.
Perhaps the season after.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. We'll have to see. Obviously moving pieces as well. But, I like the addition of Tyson Chandler. They've needed a center for a while. He can give you some serviceable minutes.
Yeah.
That's all they need.
And, LeBron was a little peeved early in the week, Nicholas. LeBron's comments on leadership bode ominously for the Lakers. We'll play you those comments right now.
LeBron, you've been preaching patience this whole year. At what point does that patience run out? And what do you look like as a leader when your patience does run out?
You probably don't want to be around when my patience runs out.
Probably don't want to be around when my patience runs out. Is this something to be worried about? I mean, I'm not entirely sure. Like, are we overreacting to these comments? Because everyone was saying, "Oh my God, his patience has run out." Well,
no,
he hasn't said that.
He said it might run out.
You don't want to be around when my patience runs out. Fair enough. He might blow up in someone's face. That does not say that he has done that.
Or it's got to that point yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the most noticeable thing, and our listeners could easily glean from the comments that LeBron made, was the tone of them more than anything. Like, you don't want to be... Like, he wasn't... It was...
Sounded like a threat.
Yeah, it was very threatening. Which is why I put ominous. And, like, I don't think they bode ominously. I think I'll give this Twitter a wiki because we know that LeBron is such a figurehead in the NBA and whatever team he is on. And for the Lakers right now, Magic Johnson, Luke Walton, the pressure is on them as a proxy because they have LeBron now. Mm-hmm. And you feel that internal pressure, that external pressure from all angles. So do they bone honestly? A little bit, which is why I'm going to Wiki before we... Yeah,
Wiki's pretty high up, though.
Well, but it's on whatever team you want to go with. Like, you know, if you're going back to the Miami Heat days when he was first there, they started 9-8 and the whole sky was falling. And apparently he asked Pat Riley if he wanted to coach again. So, like, LeBron is his own... he's just a completely different character.
I mean, since these comments, they're 1-0.
There we go, mate. There we go.
So maybe there's something to this.
Maybe...
He just needed to call everyone out and now they're starting to hit a gear. I mean, LeBron was ecstatic today. Like, Lakers extended their lead to 20.
I remember that. And Josh Hart
off the
yeah.
he was off the court.
Yeah.
Josh Hart sinks a three, and you just see that.
You know what it reminded me of? It also reminded me of when Jordan Clarkson and all those other guys came in for the first game against Boston, and
he was
doing like the arrows and stuff. But we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. Obviously, plenty of Lakers talk.
Winning can paper over a lot of cracks.
Obviously. And we'll see how it goes, as it is going to be a rocky season. It's a roller coaster. It's a marathon. All of the analogies you want to use. But Nicholas, the Houston Rockets are in more trouble than your Washington Wizards. If we did this a couple of days ago, this would have been more of a debate. But I think now it's alternative fact.
Yeah, because we're the worst team in the NBA.
That's pretty bad, bro.
We are 30th amongst everyone in.
Is that like
there's a few. There's a few other 1-7s. I don't know how they calculate why we're lower.
Because you're the Wizards alphabetically.
I mean, oh my god, that's just depressing.
You could
even
be
more.
Called like the Washington Alabamas. I don't know.
The Alabama Washingtons.
The Alabama Washingtons. There we go. But. This is a clear alternative factor,
this
isn't
is,
it?
Yeah, I mean, Rockets had... I think Rockets won... They won their game today against
Nets
the Bulls.
And the Bulls.
As soon as Harden came back. Funny, that.
Yeah, they were...
Actually, he wasn't back. He wasn't back against you.
He was against, back today.
He was back today, and he bought it. 28 points, I think.
Yeah, and Chris Paul dragged his team across the line against my Nets.
Yeah, 33.
He was doing some insane things.
The Jared Allen thing?
Oh, man, that was... Just, it was pretty
We've
nasty.
Seen that move so often.
It's pretty...
He does it perfectly.
Yeah, he's...
So good. It's always against the center as well.
Yeah, I know. He's a very crafty, very clever... I love him as a player, but when I'm watching him and my team's versus him, I hate him so freaking much. But yeah, there are still issues with the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni, did you listen to the Low Post episode earlier in the week? It's a really fascinating listen, and he was very forthright in the fact that, you know, due to the timing and everything, you wouldn't expect a coach to jump on board on a very public platform, one of the most popular, best podcasts out there, other than JBT, of course. Subscribe on iTunes, Block Talk Radio to everyone. So for me, yeah, he was worried about the defense. There were issues. In the game that I watched them against my Nets, their defense certainly had a lot of issues. We're not by any stretch an offensive juggernaut. But when they tightened that rotation, you know, they didn't put Michael Carter-Williams out there. You know, James Ennis didn't see as many minutes. And it was just still with Melo and Gordon off the bench. And you had PJ Tucker, guys playing 35-plus minutes. That's when they were like the Rockets of old, so to speak. Their defense tightened up. The schemes look sound. Clint Capella was balling. I think they're going to work themselves into form. Whether they're going to be a championship contender again this season remains to be seen. But my Nets and the Bulls have given them some form going forward. Whereas your Wizards, I mean, Dwight Howard can only do so much.
Yeah, well, this is a piece about Rockets. This is a thing about the Rockets.
So
being worse
than
the
Wizards. We're glossing over...
So, we're going to talk about the Rockets.
Come on!
What was damning about the Rockets so far is that they weren't just getting beaten. They were getting wiped off the court
by their
opponents. They won today by, I think, maybe 10 against the Bulls.
Wasn't the best performance.
You know, I know.
They got the job done.
James Harden had a good game with 27 points. I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
That's not a good game for MVP James Harden last year.
But he's his first game back from injury as well.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, it's all...
Grain of salt.
Exactly. What is alarming is how much they've fallen off offensively and defensively. Offensively was a surprise. Defensively, maybe not.
Yeah, with their...
Maybe not to the extent that we thought. I think they're 29th in defense or something ridiculous. I've got the stats here. I just can't find it.
You add in Michael Carter-Williams.
27th, defensive rating.
So if you're a bottom five defensive team, you're not going to be challenging for a championship despite the fact that LeBron did it with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that the Rockets don't have that luxury. And going forward, you know, the Jimmy Butler news, we dissected that plenty on last week's episode if you want to have a listen to it. But there are plenty of problems. There are plenty of problems with the Wizards, Nick. Do you want to even talk about it, or do you just want to go to the next topic?
I don't want to talk about the Wizards.
All right,
they've broken my basketball spirit.
I'm sorry,
mate. It is so sad to watch them right now.
You should go for the Nets now. Jump on the Brooklyn Buzz with me and Nick. We're doing gangbusters, mate. Why not? But we'll move on. Markel Fultz needs to be taken out of the Sixers starting lineup, Nicholas. Now, I'll preface this by saying one of the OTG writers, Matt Peoples, is going to have a piece on Markel Fultz. He had him as a breakout player this season, but he's going to delve into what has been happening with him this season. Does he need to start? Does he need to be benched? We'll take a look at that, obviously, on OTGBasketball.com, so stay tuned for that. But, Nick, what are your thoughts on the situation in Philadelphia surrounding the sophomore?
Well, one thing I would have wished I knew how to do bloody on-off numbers.
It's hard, yeah.
I don't know how to do on-off numbers.
John Schumann, hit us up
for NBA stats. What I want to, I guess, say is how well
Embiid,
maybe not Embiid, but more how that team flows with Fultz on the court.
Yeah,
I think.
But Simmons at the same time.
Well, that's exactly right. They can clash. You got some stuff for me, Jackie?
Statskis. Sixers off, and this was a couple of days ago around Halloween. Sixers offense with both Fultz and Simmons on the floor is 86.5 points per 100 possession. That's disgustingly bad. When one of them is on the bench, it's 110.5. So, I mean, take with that what you will. Neither is a great shooter.
Exactly.
There have been some nice signs in the past couple of games from Fultz in terms of his aggression and mentality. Simmons, mind you, his jump shot looks as broken as mine.
That's what I mean. You can't have... In a starting lineup, when you're starting the games, like you're facing against that team's best five. You can't have two non-shooters out there. It clogs up the court.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense because... Derek Bodnar had another really enlightening sort of tweet when it comes to the situation with Fultz, Simmons, and their chemistry on and off the court. When Fultz is on the court without Simmons, he averages 19 points, 9 assists per 100 possessions on 45.2% field goal, whereas when he's on together, that goes down to less than 35%, just over 12 points and less than 5 assists. So,
small, like,
it is small sample size.
That's the thing,
like, but
it's small sample size, but the... But I think the trend
is... it's solid, yeah. And you can take away from it. And I think that's what we say about, in general, about basketball in the early goings. Like, how do you take from it? You know, JJ Redick's been awesome. Landry Shamet, however you want to say it, he's been really good for them, the Sixers rookie. You know, providing them a nice little spark, sort of, you know, Redick 2.0, sort of, you know, rookie Redick, so to speak. But the Sixers will be fascinating going forward. Joel Embiid is... freaking insane. You know, he did his little troll job on Andre Drummond yet again. Posted an Insta video doing some nice dance moves. I mean, if you didn't do the troll job where he like got him ejected last week where we talked about it, I'd be all in on it. But
I mean, just don't flop. That's all you need to do, JoJo. That's all you need to do.
We shall move on, Nicholas. And we've got to get to the Warriors because they're balling. And this is via Off the Glass on Twitter. Stephen Curry is the best offensive player in the game. Now, I'll preface this with the Twitter results from the poll. 82% said yes, 18% said no. What camp are you in? Faxies? Non-faxies?
I hate to do this.
Why? What are you doing now?
Actually, I'll use this on the next topic that we do.
Okay.
Steph Curry is
good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is he the best offensive player on his day? Yes.
Yes.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
On the whole, I wouldn't... No, not necessarily.
You don't think he's the best offensive player in the game?
Not if he is... If he's giving me MVP-level Steph Curry...
Which is what he's been. He's winning the MVP right now.
Which is... Okay, fair enough.
That's what I would say.
Then yes. I would certainly say yes. Because he is... He's unguardable. And that's what I think is important. Because if he's not on his day, he's very guardable.
Yeah, but
His size lets him down.
But I
because,
think
because I mean, he can't help that.
But his
crazy 3-point shots aren't falling, which they have been at obviously
they
crazy,
have been for the past
crazy
decade.
Rates. Yes, not necessarily the past. Would you have called Steph Curry the best offensive player last year? No,
no, because he was injured for 30 games or so. Whereas I get what you're saying. Where I think he has to be healthy. I think Stephen Curry healthy. Is one of the most impactful players in the NBA, offensively, not defensively, by any stretch of the imagination. But I think he just impacts so heavily. You know, he just changes the entire aura of the NBA. He's transcendent in how he's changed this game. We've talked about it at length. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave DeFore did a nice little tweet. He says, if you're going to compare Steph's effect on the court with anyone, it has to be Shaq because, and I get what he's saying there, because their effect in terms of how much they dominate, obviously physical dominance in terms of Shaq, and he's unguardable, like you were saying. Steph is unguardable with how he gets open lanes and he's surrounded by Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. It's just unfathomable how good he's been right now. And I think he's almost, if we're doing the MVP right now, he easily wins it because Davis and Giannis have been up and down and LeBron has been as well. Joel Embiid's been pretty good as well. I'd probably have him in that sort of margin. But who would you, if you're saying all of these star offensive players, KD, LeBron, are like killing it and they're at their best, is Steph still the most effective offensive player?
I don't think so.
Who is then?
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
That a 7-foot shooter.
And you're going by...
Who can handle. Like
Finals MVP, you're sort of looking for that.
If we're taking those three that you mentioned, Steph, LeBron, KD...
They're the top three players in the game.
They're killer... Maybe not to the extent of LeBron... maybe not even Steph as well, but that's what KD has. He's got that Kobe rip your heart out mentality, and right. He's done it to the Cavs twice now.
Yeah,
I think that if I'm comparing the offensive caliber of Kevin Durant on his day and Stephen Curry on his day, I'm going to take Stephen Curry.
Yeah, but they're on the freaking same team, bro.
Exactly. That's what's crazy.
I know.
But if I'm taking a player who is going to give me, you know, their averages.
Okay.
They're like just in their average player. I think KD has more days, has more consistency.
But we've seen, I get sort of what you're going individually, but like Steph Curry before Kevin Durant got there was a two-time MVP.
Was still amazing.
And guys, let us know your
thoughts. That second MVP was... amazing.
Yeah.
Like, simply amazing.
And I think that in the first sort of 10 games or so, you could make a very, very...
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was Steph Curry at his best.
And I think right now...
He peaked so freaking high, but I've seen a lot of games where Steph Curry has struggled.
I would argue this season he's back to that level, if not as great.
Yeah, potentially.
But we'll see how long it goes on. But Nicholas, another team around the California area, the Sacramento Kings are finally on the right track, baby!
Can't believe it.
Well, hey, De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein.
MIP, De'Aaron Fox. Or even MIP, MIP, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's been... I watched more of the Kings in preseason. Surprising. I don't know why. It might have just been the team that were playing.
Why not? Get around him.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing out of Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm like, maybe there's something to this. I didn't believe it because it was Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah.
But
he's proven
it. Exactly. I mean, he has looked so effective, so athletic.
Their system now that Dave Yeager's implemented in terms of just, and obviously it's what the NBA is all about now, in terms of just pace and just getting a billion possessions, as many as he can, affects like him and De'Aaron Fox so greatly. Like De'Aaron Fox has been given the keys to just go bang. You know, that triple double the other day. He unfortunately isn't going to make JB team, but if we were doing rookie watch or sophomore watch, he's been absolutely amazing. So has Willie Cauley-Stein. Buddy Hield's killing it. I'm loving what he's doing. But when the Kings are a plus 11.4 per 100 possessions with Fox on the floor, this is via hardwood paroxysm, and then -28.9 per 100 possessions with him on the bench. That's a difference. That's a net difference of 40.3 points on the 100 possessions better. That's insane how good he's been so far.
What has really improved with Fox has been his efficiency. I think he's up 10% from his rookie year. Five extra minutes, but he was still getting good. He was still getting starting minutes for the Kings last year. The system is obviously playing into his hands perfectly to give him more open shots, to give him the confidence and just to have the level of play that he's playing at. Is tremendous.
Yeah.
He's averaging about 20 points, I think it's like 19.8 or something like that.
Yeah.
Points per game in these first 10 odd games. And if we recall back,
yep.
De'Aaron Fox was my rookie of the year
last year. Yeah.
It was last year.
Because
he was so, because of his speed, he was so explosive. He reminded me of Russell Westbrook in that the speed and ferocity in which he plays at and played at college. I mean, that was why I had him as my pick.
Yeah.
And he's certainly showing his stuff now. So
yeah, he's doing awesome.
The Kings right back on track. This is a hashtag fact.
Yep, hashtag fact as well. I mean, obviously, how long it'll last, but who cares?
If they get 25, 30 wins this season...
And they play like this, that's all that matters.
That is great.
Yeah, I think it's...
They cannot make playoffs and still have a good season.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, speaks volume about what the Kings have been through the past 10 years of. But, yeah.
And they don't have their own picks, so they want to win, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But another team, I'll quickly touch on Nicholas, that I think is doing similar sort of things. Obviously, we don't speak about these lesser glamour markets as much. The Memphis Grizzlies... sneakily fourth in the Western Conference right now. Conley, Gasol, Jaren Jackson, these guys have beaten the Utah Jazz twice already. They're sneakily doing some good things, but do you have any thoughts on the Grizzlies before we move on?
It's just surprising. I mean, more surprising about the Jazz and how lackluster they have been.
Yeah, I remember saying when we were discussing things like the Suns, the Mavs, the Grizzlies, and I was high-ish. I actually think, I might have to tweet it back out, I did a hot take for OTGBasketball.com, that the Grizzlies will make the playoffs. I think they got every chance. I think they got every chance at the way they're playing. That sort of, you know, 8 seed range, you know, the Spurs are absolutely dominating as well, but we sort of expect them to just be good because it's Popovich.
Mm.
But Nick, Kyrie's new dude... save the Celtics season.
Hashtag fact.
There's a lot of facts going.
I mean, we're spot on with our topics right now. They're all true. Nothing crazy here.
What happened?
It is amazing. I mean, he had the little fro, and I was a fan of it. Maybe John Wall needs to be to do the same thing.
It's trash. It's been trash.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Klay Thompson had the little fro, and he was going cold. He didn't cut it, but he put the headband on.
New headband, new look.
Exactly. New look, and changed everything.
Yeah.
Kyrie cuts his hair. It's what he's used to. It was what he had with the Cavs.
Yep, smooth.
Early Celtics.
Slick.
Exactly.
Bang, bang.
That flat line, yep, the line at the front.
It was on point.
On fleek.
Yeah.
And goes out and has amazing games. Like I would love to. I'm going to go back.
I think the first game he had like 31-5-5. I think the most important thing was... just it seemed like the Kyrie of old.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think he cut his hair against the Bucks, or was it the game before the Bucks?
I think it was the Bucks. That's the game that they won.
Gave
the Bucks their first loss of the season.
Yeah,
he was awesome. He was the key reason. He was awesome again. You know, tonight against the Pacers in a loss. But he's just been on a tear of late, and he's proving the fact that, you know, he is one of the best guards in the league. And there's no, he's one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player to watch, because he's just so goddamn entertaining.
I mean, we saw the little move he did against the Pistons. Oh. It was against the Pistons. That's what he brought back.
Oh man,
because that was devastating.
I wish just for like a day, like against you when we're playing someone on one. I want to have Kyrie's handles. I just want to have that and just be able to like be a beast.
That was amazing. Yeah.
It's so insane, and it's part of the reason why I think he's my favorite. I'm going to fact as well.
Yeah, he was 28 points, 50% shooting from three and from the floor against the Bucks.
He has a great shooting motion. He is one of the purer shooters, and you know, he proved that in the finals, you know, a couple of years ago for the Cavs. But he's just he's proving again. You know, we were sort of debating about Tatum, as he, you know, overtaken as the franchise guy out in Boston. It's Kyrie's team, and it always will
be. And then 31 points against the Detroit Pistons.
Yes.
With that slick handle as well. Like, he's back.
He's back,
baby. I mean, it's not... The NBA players and sports people in general are some of the most superstitious people in the world.
Yeah.
And so, if something's not working, they're going to change back. I tweeted this out. You watch Klay Thompson. I'd like to see... I haven't watched a... Golden State Warriors game since his amazing performance. I'd like to see if he's still wearing that headband.
Yeah, well, he was Jackie Moon for Halloween, so he continued the trend. But Nick, the Pelicans' over-reliance on Anthony Davis will ultimately force his departure from the franchise. This is inspired by a piece by Yahoo Sports. Did you read it? You probably didn't read it.
I didn't read it.
Of course you didn't read it. You are never prepared for this podcast. I'll go with what I think, and then you could skim through it because you are an unprepared bum.
Yeah.
I think that this has some credence, so I'll probably go Twitskis. We're changing the Twitter and the wikis to now skis.
Twitskis.
So I think that there is some merit to it because he said that, like, you know, he thinks he has to be like perfect for the Pelicans to get the win, and you can't have that. I don't think that's sustainable. You know, you need to have your second star, so to speak. Jrue Holiday is awesome. You know, Nikola Mirotic has been pretty good. Obviously, his hot early season start. They've come back a bit down to earth a little bit now since he's been injured, and I think that they are over-reliant on him, but I think most teams are over-reliant on their stars. It's a star-driven league, so will it force his departure? That's a question that remains to be seen. You know, Boston, LA, these teams are going to be waiting.
You're seeing super teams being constructed, you know, more and more, I guess.
Well, like Draymond Green in the game against the Pelicans, people like just obviously went as far as you could and as hyperbolic and as out there as you could because they were just chatting. He's just, and it's just like, okay, well, he's going to join the Warriors now. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, let's just like let it to rest. I think if he's going anywhere, it's probably Boston. Maybe LA. I don't know. I'm not in Anthony Davis's head. I don't want to be on his head either because that eyebrow is looks a bit yucky to be a lot of.
It is a nice platform to stand on, though. It's definitely flat. But
what do you think?
It would be different to not be the guy. There's a lot of pressure, obviously, for being the guy. But he would.
I mean, I'm
also
the guy on this podcast.
He would obviously get. Keep dreaming, mate. He would obviously get anything and everything to keep him happy.
I mean, he can also get the super duper duper match.
He is king.
Yeah.
In
New Orleans. But like,
at the end of the day, this is a career. This is a job. We obviously want to strive for what's...
Strive for greatness.
Hashtag strive for greatness. head for that ultimate goal of the championship. But
that's not... Is it attainable for him unless he's
But it's not everyone's...
Pinnacle.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of people love being like their workplace.
Okay, yeah.
It's the same sort of mentality. So it's if like you love Jimmy where if stuff. You love where you're playing, look at Charles Barkley.
Okay.
He loved where he like but do he you was get, still very he was still very good and obviously was.
Do you want to get roasted by Shaq for the rest of your living life?
I mean, like, the championships are nice, and if you're a good player, franchises will do anything they can with the talent get as far into the championships as they can. Obviously, like, there are like personality clashes, there are
money,
like philosophical clashes between head office and coaching staff. You might not have the best coach to bring out this certain person, but this, you know, there is so much that goes into winning a championship. It is crazy.
Yeah.
But is this over-reliance going to force his departure? No.
Okay, so...
What is going to force his departure is that he's not happy with the Pelicans.
Okay.
Not the fact that he is being over-reliant. I think he would be one that would thrive in that position.
Most of these guys do it. I think that...
Like, he would love the pressure. He loves being the man.
I mean, the people are already talking about as probably being the best player in the NBA right now. Mm. I think Bill Simmons said on his pod. And I think... Right now, in terms of impact, he's doing it with ease. I think on both ends of the floor, he's absolutely phenomenal. And I think he doesn't get a lot of credit. I think it's starting to garner further and further. And it's going to be fascinating because he can earn a ridiculous contract if he gets another All-NBA, has another All-NBA level season. I think that's almost a given if he stays healthy. And earn like 50, 53 million plus over, like, you know, for the next 5 years. So it's going to be a myriad of factors that will determine his future: money, contract, championship, like you were saying, Nick. But Nicholas, Coach Budenholzer has made more of an impact on his team than LeBron has.
This is interesting. I mean, yeah.
Cool.
Mainly because of what I was mentioning before. I think LeBron's more or less not taking a complete back, like, he's not in a 7-seater car.
Yeah,
he's not in the backpack.
He's still in the middle,
but he's in the middle. Like, right. He's not onto the side. Like, if you're looking in the rearview mirror,
yeah,
you can still see him. You're okay. The first person you'll see.
He's 6'9".
I'm very good in analogy.
His head's probably sticking out the window.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely.
It's like
there's a sunroof.
It's like Dino from from the Flintstones.
His head's sticking out of the sunroof. He is in that middle seat, and you know your people in the driver's seat, They can still see him. They still know.
Magic can still see him. He's got him.
But I feel like he's taken a semi-backseat in this Lakers team. So the impact of, like, a Cavs LeBron isn't there. I mean, he's 34.
Yeah.
He's trying to, you know, prolong his NBA career as much as possible.
Of course.
But Budden.
Buddy boy.
Amazing. Amazing changes, defensively and offensively. I think it was Haley O'Shaughnessy from the Ringer. I was listening to a podcast, and her quote was great. Everyone was worried about the three point shot in Milwaukee Bucks. Turns out they had the personnel all along.
Yeah, they just needed.
They just needed to start taking the threes.
Yeah, they needed the green light.
They needed the coach to set them up in a way that gave them the opportunity to shoot the three.
Yep.
They had the personnel all along.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Yep. And it shows, like you said, he is impacting more. This is another fact. But as was my pick for Coach of the Year, I think the narrative is swinging that way early on. But Nick, another Coach of the Year candidate, Nick Nurse. I put a Polsky's out. What do you think? Quick one. Nick Nurse is your Coach of the Year candidate. Toronto Raptors doing some nice things,
I mean,
buddy boy.
7-1 or 8-1. They've only had one loss, I believe. The incorporation of Kawhi Leonard has been seamless.
Oh.
More so than I thought. He's got amazing
the rust out a little bit.
Major reproduction. I'm not going to say production because
reproduction
okay. out of Kyle Lowry. He has almost become one of the best point guards in the league again.
Yeah.
After the step back that he was obviously asked.
Right
yeah,
yeah.
That he was obviously asked to do. He is leading assists by a good 20 assists right now. Like he's crazy. But yeah, definitely. I mean, the way that he's integrated all of these pieces together, Kawhi has fit in seamlessly. Everyone's happy. They're playing amazing basketball. Serge Ibaka is playing some of the best basketball I've seen from out of him in years.
Definitely, you since know? his sort of peak days in Oklahoma City. My poll result was too early to tell. A lot of people said so. I think that he is a Coach of the Year candidate.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think that the way he's got them playing and
Danny what was Green, that no percentage, mate? So you had three results: yes, no, and too early
3%.
To say. 3% said no.
So 3%.
That says a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does. But Nick, Doc Rivers is a horrible grandfather. You've got your niece, mate. You know you're good. You're pretty good with kids. You like
I'm
the little
right,
ones.
Man. Yep.
But I'm going to quote here, and this is from a couple of days ago.
This is amazing.
About a week. Last night, Austin Rivers was asked about how Doc is as a grandfather. So the Wizards obviously were visiting the Clippers. His answer was interesting. Trying to answer that the right way. He's okay. He's okay to keep it short. Shit, he's the same guy he was as a father. Just trying to ask when is he going to start playing basketball. That's about it. Come on, Doc! Like, what?
Wow!
You don't need to have value as a man, as a person, just by playing basketball. Like, give Austin a break.
I can just imagine it'd be one of those. You've seen the How I Met Your Mother episode where Ted can only talk to his dad about baseball.
Yeah.
It is the same thing. Like, conversation is dry.
Yep.
He doesn't talk about anything
other
than basketball.
Guarantee you, like,
hey, I had a kid.
Yeah.
Not, this is an amazing moment. You know, if you need me, like, I'll babysit, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When's you play basketball?
Like, you can, like,
amazing.
Imagine. You could literally imagine him saying that. Like,
and imagine that. I hate to think the childhood that Austin Rivers actually had.
The
pressure.
Thanksgiving is coming up. It's going to be a bit awkward. Like, you know, bringing the new kid in. Like, Doc's probably going to, like, give him, for Christmas, he's definitely going to want those, like, mini basketball rings.
If you've got no expectation to him to be an amazing grandfather, then I guess no harm, no foul, I guess, like...
He's a horrible grandfather, Nick. It's a fact, mate. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's, obviously, guys, if you think...
I'd be willing to say he'd be doing more for his Clippers team
than he would
for his granddaughter?
Granddaughter or grandson? I can't. I think
grand person.
You're a grand person, mate. Play that JV Team of the Week music.
JV Team of the Week.
Yeah, so I've stopped fist bumping so I can actually go through JV. At point guard, it's obviously Derrick Rose, who put a career-high 50 points, along with 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and the game-winning block as the Timberwolves won an emotional night in Minneapolis. Derrick Rose is still a dick. Look into it. Google it. Shooting guard Clay Thompson found his shooting form and in an emphatic fashion as he launched for 52 points while breaking Steph's record for most threes in a game, as he put up 14 for the total game for the total outing.
These two aren't surprising.
Nick, I'm not saying this line. Can you say?
Okay. The way that Clay is shot on that Tuesday, I think it was pretty early in the week.
Yeah, right.
it's like when you haven't masturbated in a very, very long time. I mean, imagine the Pope. It's just, I mean, I'm crossing a lot of boundaries.
It's been a while since I've seen Ali, actually, as well.
It just builds and builds, and you know, your testicles try to grow a little bit. And it builds until you release, and it's just a massive explosion.
Rightio.
Vesuvius everywhere.
Small
and
forward.
That's exactly what happened.
Small forward Jimmy Butler had 32 points. Made a career-high 6 3-pointers, 5 in the fourth quarter as the Wolves outraced the Lakers. I don't know what's going on with Jimmy, but he's still playing well. He also had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block to go with his 32 points. At power forward, Kevin Durant poured in 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists in a narrow win over my Brooklyn Nets. JoJo posted a cool 41 points in 33 minutes, as well as notching up 13 rebounds and 4 blocks, finishing plus 16 as the Sixers made short work of the Clippers in Philly. Rookie watch time, Nicholas, play it for me.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes for the rookies for the week just passed. Taking out the one vote in a nice win over the Heat, Trae Young was incredible. He had a
just tremendous, Nicholas. It works well with the alliteration.
Trae Young was tremendous, putting up filthy stat line of 24 points, 5 rebounds, 15 assists, and a block.
That's pretty good. Trae Young got a block.
I mean, he's not so smoky for Rookie of the Year right now. Like,
he's
not so
five.
Smoky, mate.
Top, yeah,
he's definitely top three for rookies right
okay.
now.
Well, 2 votes.
2 votes. Wendell Carter Jr. had a nice night, making his rookie watch debut in a loss to the Warriors. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He backed it up the very next game in a narrow loss to Denver, with an even better showing, finishing 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals.
He's killing it, man. I'm really liking Wendell
Carter. That is a fantastic night.
Shouts to begin to Wendell Carter.
Close to a quintuple 5.
Quintuple 5?
Quintuple 5 game. So okay, you got 5 in 5. You get more than 5
in 5
stats. I know
you're a big fan of it, Nicholas. 3 votes?
The quintuple double's coming back. As soon as Porzingis comes back, mate, what do you watch?
We shall see.
Luka Doncic taking out the 3 votes. He buried 4 threes en route to a new career high, 31. He also had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block to go along with that. So very nice outings there for Rookie Watch.
Yeah. Our rookies continue to dominate. We get to do off-topic again, Nicholas. I don't know who's messaging us. They must be really keen for off-topic. But play it for me.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now, the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What?
What?
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off-topic.
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 Off-topic?
Yeah, so this off-topic is inspired by Raptors forward, OG Anunoby. And he had some interesting words to say in the little halftime timeout preview. It was listing certain fears. So let's take a listen to what he said.
Coyotes, dogs, cats, fish, spiders, hamsters, rats, seagulls, whales, cottage cheese.
I'm sorry, what?
Cottage cheese.
So
he's got churophobia, Nicholas.
Is that a thing?
T-U-R-O-phobia. Fear of cheeses. That's what it is.
I'm sorry, who is afraid of cottage
cheese? Well, metro.co.uk, she has a severe phobia of cheese, and she's getting pranked by her friends. She's a kid. I mean,
it'd be easy to do.
It's
easy.
Just throw a pizza. Just buy her a pizza. Just get a pizza delivered to her house.
I was going to say throw blocks of cheese at her.
That's
like cheese cubes.
A little bit more irrational way, but Well, this is inspired by, obviously, OG's Cotter Hay Cheese comments.
Cotter Hay Cheese.
We're going to discuss some foods that are a little bit scary.
I mean, scary foods, I guess. I mean, all right, can I ask you this, Jack?
Okay, sure.
Is cottage cheese the scariest of the cheeses?
Yep.
I mean, I would say no. It's up there.
Okay.
It's not the scariest.
So, non-scary cheeses. Let's rule out some big ones. Just tasty cheese.
Tasty cheese, just, like cheddar.
And what about the cheese whiz? You scared that? It could be a bit...
I mean, that could be a weapon.
Yeah.
That's pressurised cheese.
Yeah, I'll probably have that a bit up there. I mean, is it as scary as cottage cheese? I'd say...
I mean, cottage cheese, I mean, you...
Consistency.
It looks gross.
Yeah, but like, looks...
And it's like
scary.
Porridge-y.
There's a difference between gross and fear. Like, that's the thing.
Like, people are afraid of snakes because they're gross. And they kill things.
Nah, but like, I get what you're saying. Like, cockroaches are like gross or whatever.
Yeah.
Rats are gross. And that's what makes them partly scary. So maybe cottage cheese, is that the reason why OG's afraid of it?
Maybe. I mean, camembert and brie are surrounded by mold.
Oh, I fucking love brie, bro.
It's nice. It is tasty, but I'm sure people like cottage cheese.
What is your most feared cheese?
Blue vein cheese.
Oh, come on, bro.
Blue vein cheese
is disgusting. Get that stank.
It's gross. And it's got blue veins.
Ah, blue's my favourite colour, baby. I love that some of that blue
It does not belong in cheese.
Have you had blue cheese on a burger? Oh, bro, it just changed.
No. No.
What? Have you had, like, you know...
Buffalo wings do not go well with blue cheese. Blue cheese dip? No.
Whenever, like, I remember... I think
ranch.
We did it, but...
Ranch, my boy.
Piss off, ranch.
Ranch dressing?
Yes, all right, mate. I remember when we went to a wing place, and I think I did get blue cheese, and you got ranch. But that's for, like, the celery. But, Nick, are there any other foods that scare you a little bit? Any, like, dairies or proteins?
I mean, if you're lactose intolerant, dairies would be the most frightening thing in the bloody world.
Yes, sir.
I mean, any food allergy, really. Mussels scare me.
Okay. Oysters?
They're gross. Yeah, mussels, oysters.
Okay.
Shellfish.
Okay. I like it.
Oh, no. I'm not allergic. I just... They're the most disgusting things. They're slimy.
Yeah.
And they're just... Like, the way that you eat them, it's like you've got to, like, open up your gullet and just let it slide. Ugh.
I mean, I'm still a bit befuddled by the fact that OG is scared of a food. But we're trying to rationalise it. I mean, OG, hit us up if you want to jump on the pod, mate.
I mean, he did say fish. Fish are scary.
Fish, but he said seagulls. He said
fish and then whales. I guess whales are mammals.
They are mammals. That's a big discrepancy. They're a lot bigger as well.
Yes. Yes.
But
they are.
I'm on some websites and looking up scary foods. Black pudding? Is it the blackness? Is it the pudding element? What's scary?
I don't even know what black pudding is.
That it's like the part of the traditional English breakfast. Did you not have one when you were in London hanging with me? I think we just
You traditionally English?
I've been there for a couple of years. Literally, every time I go to a school now, they think I'm English because I don't teach, like, long term. But I don't know. There's obviously if you're talking...
I mean, there are some cultures that, like, cook insects.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I guess fairly scary. I mean, I saw a cake in the shape of Pennywise the Clown.
That's...
I mean, that is a scary cake.
But it's still cake, though. Like, you can't be scared of cake.
I mean, if it looks like a clown that's going to kill me, then sure.
But then you eat it, so you take away the fear. Like, you're facing your fears by literally putting it in your face.
Yeah, but hold on. I saw a cake that was like it was shaped as a newborn child, and then they cut its head.
Good.
It was traumatic.
What about, like, erotic cakes, Nicholas? You're a fan of the erotic cakes?
Penis cakes.
Yeah, well, you know.
Cakes.
Butt cakes. You can bury your face in the butt.
The butt. I mean, you're
you don't
right.
like
cakes,
it when things...
Cakes aren't scary, but cakes can be shaped as scary things.
They can. So you're saying that you don't like it when things look like other things, to an extent. Whatever that, like, animomorphism or... Now
I
I'm
mean, there's something unsettling about chopping the head off a child.
There is?
Whether it's a cake or not a cake, Jack.
Oh, okay.
It is unsettling.
I probably shouldn't be saying some bad things about kids in the scene as I'm a teacher. Hopefully VIT isn't listening. But yes, foods. I don't understand how you can be scared of food. So, I mean, I get what you're saying a little bit.
Like the squid ink noodles in Japan.
Okay.
Like the black burger buns.
Yep.
I mean, I've had the black burger one. They don't taste any different whatsoever.
Yeah.
But like squid ink noodles freak me out. They're black. And like a black burger bun would freak people out. And they do. They're skeptical
now,
on it.
Are you now being racist in your food preferences, Nicholas?
I mean,
it's evident. Obviously.
Squid ink, mate.
Damn those squids. Pufferfish is like the thing that almost killed Homer. I get why people are scared.
It needs
of that
to be
shit.
Like a delicately cooked and like to not poison. Yeah.
The most scary thing I've ever seen, though, Nicholas. Like on who? What is it? Foodandwine.com. Cheeseburger in a can. That freaks me out. How can you take the awesomeness of a burger and like condense it into can form? Like, I mean, they kind of do it with Spam, I guess, to an extent. But like, I don't understand.
I'm fairly sure I've seen like hot dog in a. In a can or cocktails. Not a can.
The cocktail sort of thing, yeah?
No, the, I don't think it's a can, but it's like a...
jar?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of different food vessels.
A hot dog in a jar. I can just imagine like Whole Foods or something selling... I wouldn't sell anything that unhealthy. It'll probably be like red pickled...
Walmart.
Yeah.
Shout out to Walmart if you want to jump on board as a sponsor. Whole Foods, you know, we're willing to take any sponsors on, ladies and gentlemen. Sportsbet, we're still waiting to hear.
Sportsbet.com.au.
Cheeseburger in a can, Nick. Thoughts?
It's gross.
What are your
What other thoughts? I mean, exactly. How much preservatives, how much processed crap is in that?
It's produced...
So that a burger can be held in a can.
It's produced by the German company Trekking Malzeiten. As a snack for those on the move.
It's like I've saw microwavable burgers. Like, but it's like, it's not like you just microwave the meat and you microwave the whole burger.
That's, where'd you see that?
It was in it's in Coles. It's like a...
Really?
A micro, because you can, there's microwave
yeah, the
forms
ready-made
of...
ready-made meals.
Yeah.
In that section?
Because there's like, Mrs. Max came out with like a crispy microwavable pies and sausage rolls. And when I was, because they were amazing. They figured out their microwavable stuff down to a T. But then I saw a microwavable hamburger. And it wasn't just the patties, it was
the bun,
everything.
The cheese?
Yeah.
Was there a tomato?
No, I don't think it was vegetables.
Just a cheeseburger.
So, like, I mean, that can't be. What, you microwave a lettuce and it, like, and it turns into a fully fleshed lettuce?
I don't know, Nicholas. Food technology astounds me. There's cheeseburgers in cans now, mate.
Yeah,
tripping out.
That is incredible.
If you're scared of any foods, you want to just have a chat about it. We're obviously very understanding. We just spent 10 minutes talking about it.
Foods can be terrifying.
Or if the German food company Trekking Malzeiten would like to sponsor the podcast, I'm going to hit them up.
We're really scraping the barrel right now.
We'll take anything. We are sellouts. We'll take anything. If you guys know of a brother who's selling some canned foods on the street and he's trying to, make a dollar and get his name out there. It's a really weird segue, but do the spiel before I get even weirder.
I think we've had enough. We're going a bit loopy, so that just about does it for another episode of Just Ball Things. So thank you for tuning in. You can catch us every Monday on the Nothing But Net-Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. I use Pocket Casts. I think it cost me like $1.20, worth every penny.
Bang.
Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review there as well. You can contact us at the JManJBT or at JBTNick on Twitter. You should also hit up OTG Basketball at OTG Basketball. You can read some awesome NBA articles there. We've plugged a few on the show already. Jack's written a few. Heaps of other fire content there as well. Just Ball Things on Facebook. You can find us there. Just search that. And jbtpodcast@gmail.com. We'll read your emails on the show.
Sponsors.
If you've got any... Yes, sponsorship. Look at you, sports bet. Ladbrokes. William Hill. The racing carnivals are around the
yeah.
corner.
Yeah,
that's it.
Before Cup Day.
That's it.
We have 24 hours to get a sponsor.
All right, remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.